Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Everybody cannot be right. There are a lot of religions, and there's this thing that's being offered to you and I that says all religions are basically the same, trying to do good for humanity, and they're all leading us to the same universal God. He is the universe, or whatever name you want to call him. They do not want to get specific. They want to get broad in the way. But I heard that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believes in me, you can only get in through him. There's no other name given among men where you can be saved except the name of Jesus. It's a narrow way. And I'm telling you, it's tempting, at least it was for me as a young man growing up in Detroit. I was about to say Detroit's inner city, but the whole thing seemed like it's just city, Detroit. God bless Detroit. I love Detroit. It is. He knows the truth. Yo, you from Detroit? You can talk about your own city. Just y'all don't talk about it. You be ready to fight some. Don't say nothing about Detroit. But when you see the Muslim Brotherhood standing on the side and they've got their bow ties and they're looking dapper and they're selling their bean pies and they're, you know, their what's that name of the Final Call? And you know, if you're down, you can be romanced by something that seems to be offering you the same good that Christianity is. But yet, if you listen long enough, there's distinctives and there's differences. And I don't want to pick on the Muslim Brotherhood, but today, since this is my personal experience, it's not picking on them, it's just stating facts. So after I've seen some of the disciples, and they look well-dressed and everything. I watched Louis Farrakhan on TV. Brother can speak. The charisma, you know, with the political issues, just the way he can articulate everything. And at some point after you're caught up in the romance of what he's saying, you start knowing that there's some differences between Christianity and him. Because he says all, not some, all white people are devils. If you've never heard that and you're offended, don't get mad at me. This is what Louis Farrakhan said. All. Not surely, maybe some. No, all. He'll be talking about Jesus and be building Jesus up as if there's no question about who he is and his greatness, only to downgrade him to just a good man, a prophet. You see, everything's not the same. The world is trying to discredit your God. In fact, I was talking to one of the saints the other day who was at some event where there were palm readers. And at this particular event, that there were palm readers, they thought that they saw a picture, you know, of Jesus as if these palm readers and Jesus hung out. So they went and investigated and asked questions about, you know, what they believed about Jesus. And the immediate answer was, he was a great prophet. Now, do you want your palm read? It seems as if the world is saying, you can have Jesus if you want him. You can have everything. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. See, all these other religions may tell you what the teachings of Confucius is, or the teaching of Buddha is, which means the enlightened one. They may tell you the teachings of Muhammad and the Quran, but this is about what Jesus actually did, his death, burial, and resurrection, and his verifiableness. And where we pick the story up in Luke 24, Jesus has died the cruel death on the cross, and this is on a Friday. Jesus has, there's been a silence on Saturday, and Sunday, everybody is trying to figure out what they're going to do. And you're going to find the dominant word that defines the people who were closest to him was doubt. Was doubt. And I want to show you what God does with our doubt. He walks with us. He works with us until we're able to be a witness. He walks with us. And he works with us until we're able to be a witness. So let's look at Luke 24. And let's start at the 13th verse. When you have it, say amen. If you didn't bring your Bible, say amen. It's okay. That's what, you know, we have it on the screen. But do you, as long as you have one at home, you know, that's all I want to know. Somebody said, well, I brought my phone. Don't call me out, Pastor James. I know somebody's online at home with their family Bible on their dining room table. I got mine, Pastor. I hear you. I know I can. I feel it. I feel it. Family Bible. Verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Isn't it funny that when we don't feel that God is with us, that he's still there. When we can't see him, he's still there. When we're confused, he's still there. When we have doubt, he's walking with us. When we're disappointed that what we anticipated him doing that he didn't do for us in a timely manner, that he's still willing to walk with us. And I'm telling you, even though you could be walking away from where your family is, where your ministry is, where in Jerusalem was everything that they love, and walking away from the place where the resurrection would might be possibly happen, I'm telling you that God will still walk with you. Now, the message is important today because you're going to find that Jesus' closest followers, the women that followed him, the men that followed him, and all of the disciples who anticipated that he was the Messiah had doubt. And you may be living in a world where doubt has entered into your heart. And it's difficult for you to articulate it, but every time you hear another scientific fact that seems to be something that the Bible is oblivious to or didn't teach, it cripples or stymies your faith. Every time you hear there's another UFO sighting, you're saying, why didn't God tell me about that? There are things that are trying to make you doubt. And if you and I tell ourselves the 100% truth, there are moments when we do doubt. And if you haven't come to grips that maybe that reality could be you, that you're a doubter, then maybe you're greater than Peter, James, and John, and all of the people who walk with them and witness all the miracles who are walking away from Jerusalem. What are you walking away from because you don't have the confidence to say he rose? What argument are you walking away from? What job are you walking away from? What conflict are you walking away from because you can't articulate it that he's alive? I want you to know, if you have that doubt, if you've been walking away, if you feel a bit of strange, even though you've seen God have miracles, if you've been like me, been in church the whole of your life, been in worship service after worship service, only to get to college and hear somebody say something, you know, about evolution, and you say, why didn't they tell me that part? And doubt comes in. What do you do? Are you somehow lost? Or is Jesus married to the backslidden in heart. Today, I want to let you know it's all right to have doubt. Because the answer to your doubt is the fact that Jesus will walk with you. It's all right to be confused. Jesus promised to walk with you. Hey, glory. I can't get happy. My voice not right now. Just say amen. It'll give me the calmness to move on. Verse 17. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas, which is the male form of Cleopatra, for those academics in the room, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? Can you imagine Jesus, who was in disguise, seemingly insensitive because they have lost their leader, their closest friend has died, and they stood there still and stunned and sad that he even had the nerve to answer the question? They're not walking away saying that they can forget all the miracles that they have seen or forget what they have believed. They're walking away trying to figure out, how can all of this be true, but yet he didn't get up and I'm still looking the wrong way and this guy don't even know what's going on? And the Bible said they stood there talking to him, looking sad. You don't know? Man, what's wrong with you? I want you to see how deeply the doubt has set in. By the way, unbelief is sin. And the answer to sin is Christ. See, you have to acknowledge that it's sin because you then will acknowledge that you need an answer for your sin. Verse 19. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. You know how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, besides all of this, it is now the third day since all these things happened. Now, this is really funny. They have downgraded him to just a man, Jesus from Nazareth. They've downgraded him to a man of God, not because it's untrue that he is who he says he was, but because now they have a time lapse where they anticipated something happened, didn't happen in their time, and it's let doubt come in. Have God let you down? Have you put God to a time test? He let you down and has caused you into a faith crisis? Now, if you God, I want them to call me today at 5 o'clock. And if they don't call today at 5 o'clock, I doubt very seriously that you're listening to me if you're there. And I've got the right, because you didn't answer when I said answer, to doubt you. He said, it's the third day, and he is, and where is he at? Man, stay in Jerusalem. You know, it would, why are you leaving? Like, if Jesus said he's going to rise on the third day, I'm going to wait till, like, day 30 to leave. I'm not going to leave on the day he got there. I was expecting him by 6 a.m. He ain't here now, forget it. This is how it's happening. Verse, y'all tell me what verse. 20. And how our chief priests delivered him up. No, that's not 20. Yeah, who said 20? Raise your hand if you said 20. No. I know, yes, yes. Thank you, those who helped me out with the wrong verse. 22. Oh, was you, honey?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't make me pay for that later. Moreover, some of our company, some of the women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. First of all, I love not running past this particular part of the text that acknowledges that. Here's the point I want to get. The people who verified that Jesus was dead were the women who had prepared his body. And this is an eyewitness of count, because this is how you know you can trust something. These people, they saw him dead. They loved him. They didn't think that he could be brought back by mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. They didn't think that there was any hope of him coming back. They would never have laid him in a tomb. But they did it. Then it was Saturday. They couldn't work on the Sabbath. They couldn't finish their work on his body. They had to go back early on Sunday morning with all of the spices. You got Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, you've got the Joanna and other women getting to the tomb. They get there, the stone's away. They run in. They see two angels sitting there. Then why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for Jesus on the third day when he said he was going to get up? Why are you in the place where the grave is? Because this is not the place where he not dead. But that's okay. And so she turns and she goes. She sees a gardener and she said, "Look, do you know who took the body?" They ain't listening to them angels. "Do you know where they laid my Lord? I'm looking for his dead body. I'm not looking for his resurrected body. I want to know where his dead body is." And then he said, all he had to do was say, "Mary." Oh, it's him. Could you imagine? I wish I could see that scene. "Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I want you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, don't play with me like that. Oh, you took my heart, my breath away. Oh, I almost died. Jesus right here. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus." Oh, and the Bible says she reached out. She was great. He said, "Mary, don't touch me. Calm down, Mary. Mary, calm down. Just go back. Tell him I'm alive. Go back and be the first person that gets to carry the news that I'm not dead, I'm alive. Go back, Mary, to my disciples and let them know, wake on up. God revealed himself to a little woman. You didn't believe I had the strength or the ability to be used by God in this mighty way, but I'm letting you know my gender is not insufficient, deficient, but I am equal to the task of preaching the gospel. Y'all get on up. He already showed me who he was, but you get up now and go to the door. I'm going to wait here because he's going to show up again." Hey, my God. Okay. Watch my voice. See, that's why it is. We, as an African American, I'm grateful for people who fought for us to be out of slavery. Somebody besides African American had to do that. In the same way, we as men have to look at the gender of women and make sure that what God intended is evident. He didn't make a lesser and a greater. He made two human beings that were different but equal. And so you have to fight for that equality. But I love that Jesus made it clear for all time, I'm all for women. The men will still sleep. Y'all, I'm not going to get to the whole thing. Okay. All right, now what verse am I at again? 25. Some of y'all were strangely silent on that.
And he said to them,
O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know, he said, look, fools, foolish ones, don't you get it? Everything you learned in the Torah portion, everything that Moses said, don't you know I'm the Ancient of Days? I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the one David was talking about. Everything that was written about me being born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, it was me. And I showed you. You remember the scripture said his beard would be plucked out. That was me. He would be spit on. That was me. He would be wounded for somebody. That was me. He would do miracles. That was me. Did you get it? He helped them understand. Jesus kept walking with them. So they drew near to the village of which they were going. He acted as if he was going to go further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And when they were at the table, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes was open, and they recognized him. Wait a minute. The last time bread was broken like this, it was by the Savior breaking bread and passing it out. Wait a minute. Let me see those hands that's holding that bread. Wait a minute. I see something of an injury there. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up them scriptures? Woo-hoo! He'll walk with you, and he'll walk you through what you cannot comprehend. Everything about God must be revealed. He waited until they were open for the conversation as he walked with them. God is not afraid of your doubts, waiting on you to run out of words, and he'll start talking to you. Verse 33, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You know, you can have an encounter with Jesus that'll get you back to the place you should have never left. Now, if I walk 7 miles, I'm going to stay. They got up. That's too good. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Can y'all imagine them fellas? They probably told that story the rest of their life. Yeah. Every time they come in, you know how I went on the road with him, right? No, Jesus, really? No, sit down, let me tell you about it. Can you, just the tutorial alone was probably priceless. Yeah. He walks with you to give you that same personal tutorial. He knows your language. He knows your language. He's walking with you. He's not afraid of your doubts. He will walk you right through your doubts. Don't even ignore your doubts. If you doubt his resurrection, if you doubt he is who he says, just face it. He'll walk with you. He'll walk with you. He'll reveal himself. Verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace. But they were startled and frightened. And thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubt rise in your heart? See my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see I have. Now look at this. This is him making it emphatically clear. I had a bodily resurrection. I'm not some ghost. This is not Casper. The friendly ghost. He ain't walk. You know, yes, how did his resurrected body could walk through walls, appear and reappear, but he still could eat. You still could touch him. You still could recognize him. He had a resurrected body. God perhaps is not as spooky as people would have you think. He didn't come. He came in the room and said, I know that's when I disappeared. So it's scary. Be at peace. Don't be afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost. They weren't seeing a ghost. Their mind was playing a trick on them. You know, you can ingest enough of the world's perspective on things, and you say, oh, it must be a ghost. I heard it, boom. Somebody downstairs. You go. No, I'm, who go? Get the knife. I don't have time for how y'all hold me up. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of fish, and he took it before them. Stand to your feet. And then he said to them, these are my words that I've spoken to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms will be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ must suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Beginning in Jerusalem. Back to where I told you. You are witnesses of these things. Church, today, ministry team, you can come down. And in the upper venue, the ministry team can come down and I hand that service back over to you guys and online, the online team. You have the rest of the service as I conclude here with a prayer. God is not dead, but yet you could have doubts. Don't be afraid of your doubts. We as a church decided we're going to face them. God can walk you through them. Coming to church is a wise move for God to walk with you. You're inviting him in. I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. And today, it's a unique thing. I don't want anybody looking around, please. But I want you to be able to be open and brave. And if today you find yourself of any doubt about who he is, you want to believe, but you've had doubt, I definitely want to pray for you today. And on three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to raise it and leave it up if you've had some doubts about who he is. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see the shakes at me. I see them. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are doing the work of routing out all doubt, fear, and unbelief. And God, I thank you, God, that because they are here, they have drawn near to you. Now you promise to draw near to them. And God, just like you blessed them on the road to Emmaus to have a clear revelation of who you were, God, no matter what it took, I pray that every person in here would have such a clear revelation of who they are that they will go back to the place that they may be running from, back to the job that they're running from, back to Jerusalem, back to their home, back to their spouse, back to wherever it is that's chased them away, God, and they would stand and proclaim, because you raised Christ from the dead, they are raised, and any situation or circumstance they're going through, they can be raised up. God, I pray as we all leave this place today, you go with us. Keep us in the center of your will and as the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. If you have any needs whatsoever, we're here to pray for you. God bless you. You are dismissed.